Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' most precious name we are praying. I welcome everyone that is here already to tonight's meeting. Such a wonderful time to be here. And I believe also that our week has been excellent. We thank God it's another weekend again. And we thank God for His faithfulness as He's carrying us along. Oikonomia. Talked about wealth and principles of trade. And it's so important because we had said from the introductory part that God is giving people wisdom. And if God is giving wisdom, there is a how to it. Before we proceed this evening, there was a testimony I was supposed to have shared with us, but I could have not been able to share it over last weekend. But I think the round tables before the past weekend, that was 2 weekends ago. Remember the Saturday of it, we were praying and we were just declaring for sickness and affliction, and we're talking about migraine to leave. I think was it the week that followed? Someone called me and was sharing the testimony with me. Chrissy is not here today, so can't even say shit. But told me that they had a consistent headache that lasted for 3 days, and that the headache was affecting even their sight. Like, it was so terrible. You know, a headache that, you know what it's like when somebody has headache for a few hours, and then let alone you have an ache that persists for 3 days and then extends into your vision, and then it starts affecting your sight and your eyes. And that it was that serious and very terrible, very painful, wouldn't go away. And it sort of wanted to be a reason why they wouldn't join in that Saturday. And they somehow managed to join the round tables. And while we were speaking, we're praying at that time, said immediately started speaking. This person was, the way the person was even narrating the testimony to us, you could literally tell the excitement and it. Like, it was just like, while the speaking was going on, it just cleared once. And they were shot like, whoa, hold on. According to what they told me. 3 days migraine that extended to the eyes and was affecting vision left in 1 second. And they said it was after it had left, we started saying migraine has gone. So they were so excited to share that test, like it was a massive miracle. And of course, you know, when somebody, something discomforts you, anybody that has had an ache before knows how terrible an ache can be, let alone when it's a migraine and it's lasting for 3 days. And that will not be the first time we've had those kinds of healings where people join in with certain kinds of things and all of a sudden before they realize. But this one faded off just at the beginning of the meeting, like just faded off. And if you remember, that was the day we talked about the anointing of the Holy Spirit while we were in prayer and we're declaring and speaking and prophesying. We're talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Mimshak Ruach HaKodesh, and we are declaring that the anointing is coming upon people and is landing on people's head. You remember that meeting? That's the meeting that testimony came from. And then I think we have a testimony coming here. One of us here says, I want to give God praise for His message. Said I got mobilized to the National Youth Service Corps, that's NYC, and they were taken to an unknown state. Well, not really, what the person meant is was a state far from where they were or just out of the box. I believe we can hear me, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
He said, all efforts for me to be relocated back to where I was supposed to be was seeming fruitless. All efforts to be relocated back to where I was supposed to be, like the state they wanted, was seeming fruitless. And then instead, they were taken to another state. said it was a tough one. In the midst of that, they had limited time, and said even money couldn't really get it sorted out about that time. All right, but God kept bringing comfort and hope to me, and my faith was alive. Let's go to where the main action. He says she had a revelation where she was given a new state code of her choice and a place of primary assignment of her choice. That was in the vision. And that same week, a colleague of hers, she applied together. This testimony is long. Let me go back to the main, where the main action happened. Okay, so I had a flashback after all of this. I had the flashback of an encounter she had with myself in that vision. After one of the roundtables meeting, and I said to her in that vision, no more delay. And she kept on declaring the word why she woke, why she, like, real life now. And she was trusting God that that last weekend roundtable would give her a testimony. She said after the meeting on Friday, she checked her dashboard and saw that her relocation had been approved. And the lingering delay had been taken off. The delay was broken, and she got the PP of her choice. I think we spoke today, and really it's related to the presidency, so it's not a small PPA. We thank God for that breakthrough and that miracle. The thing is, I don't know what you are here today that is a request in your heart. While before I came up, I said to God, I was praying, put somebody's word in my spirit tonight. Put somebody's word in my spirit tonight and let it be decreed and declared. So I don't know how you came here tonight, and I don't know what expectation is in your heart. We had the testimony of Sister Benita. I've never seen her for some time. She said that during the meeting, she was just a lot of, you know, chaos here and there in her state of mind, and then all of a sudden peace filled her heart, and then resources flowed in the direction and arrested the need that was surmounting, and that was part of the reason why she was troubled. We've had other testimonies of specific words for people that have handled one issue or the other, or that had given them direction. We had a testimony of somebody who joined the meeting that before we even had the meeting, he was not part of the platform, but had a vision and saw us giving them direction. And so the person told him, why not join this meeting that's going to happen in about a week or two? And they did join, and then we got his feedback in the message he sent back. He said a major part of his destiny had just opened up, that certain things that he had a little information here and there about, that in the meeting that it opened up to him with so much clarity, and that he would not be able to mention in details, but that certain things have occurred in his life already and that he cannot recover from them. I'm praying tonight, and I've prayed it, and I'm saying it again, that your word will come through this gathering tonight, and that God will unveil a word that will address whatever position your life is and whatever state it is, that will gradually, that will drastically change it for good. Because the Bible reveals and teaches us that the word of God comes to change the status of men. He said that until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. But when his word came, the king sent and loosed him and made him to be the ruler of the people, and made him to be governor over his senators, to bind his princes at his will, and to teach his senators wisdom. When God's word comes to you, it changes where you are. I know what I'm talking about. You are in one condition, one state. Sometimes we know where we are now is because of the word of God has not come. That is the state of our life. I say we are not lacking in certain respect. What we don't have is direction. And what I mean by direction is rather instruction. Why we are here, why we are where we are, why we do some things that we do, and why we are restricted to certain operations is instruction. When the word of God comes to you, it changes your direction, it changes your status. And so for whatever issue of concern is, the word of God came. All right, look at this lady here now. She began to re-announce the word of God she had in a vision that says no more delay. And that was a prophetic word, and there's even a teaching like that on the YouTube channel. But it was a prophetic word that came out of scripture where the angel proclaimed that there will be no more delay. Let me now declare and decree. It came as a prophetic word. She saw it again in a vision where we prayed for her and decreed over her in a vision and said, no more delay, no more delay. And delay was arrested. Whatever is a child of delay or an object of delay, whatever is can be tagged delay in your life, whatever is a delay in your life, or whatever is delaying in your life, trying to get something done, not able to get it, whatever it is, that season of delay, it is arrested in the name of Jesus. We decree that by virtue of the prophetic word and the prophetic promises of God, the seasons of delay over people's life is coming to an end tonight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So come in here with readiness to hear God's word, with readiness to hear God's instructions, with readiness to get hooked up with a divine instruction that will change your level forever. And so, Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you once again. Be glorified. I want us to do something, and it has to be done. I want you to pray in the spirit where you are for a few minutes. You don't have to turn on your mic, except maybe, just if I want somebody to come in, I'll ask them. But I want you to pray where you are in the spirit. If you are in an open place and you can't pray loud, you can pray under your breath. But let's just open your spirit. Let's open your spirit so that something can begin in this place. Father, we give you praise. Makash. Le corona madibush tembre ekezi branda gaziza levri tozoze prandas ke prodas teftarades ne teftarades teste pranades tekte taradush loptaki di bondoru maskati branumos brepele brepele besuta la babaski paradeo brebende boshati borotusa kabramanda peretes izi protas ne prehikos izi sandas le prodidiete prandas le pogozozozo branta. Pray that, oh Lord, let the prophetic books of my life from heaven open up in this meeting tonight. Yes, pray. Liko shata pala leketeke lebrete kekete protoko disabradagadia. Consign every one of you. God has written you in a book. David said in the book of Psalms, he said that my members are written down in your book. Lehushika baladash ne protoko zibradadash. In the book of Psalm 136, he said that my members are written down in your books. In Psalm 40, verse 7, he said, somewhere in this book, someone wrote about me. The King James Version, he says, I come in the volume of the books as it is written concerning me. There is a book written concerning you in heaven. The Bible talks about the roll call in heaven. He said, if the firstborn, the general assembly, and the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. So there are records in heaven that carries your data. They do not describe you as you are presently. They describe you as you ought to be according to the revelation of Christ. When those books open up before you, know who you are and what you should be in Christ. Pray, Lord, open up my books in this meeting. Open up my destiny in this meeting. Let this grace of God, let this apostolic vessel, this apostolic ministry and assignment, this apostolic ministration tonight, fetch out a dimension from my book and administer it unto me. Because it's one thing for books to be sealed, and when they are open, then somebody, an administrator, an interpreter, fetches out wisdom from the books and administer it to you, and it becomes life. Some may not understand what we are talking about, but these are really what goes on. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus fetched out his destiny from the book of Isaiah chapter 61, I say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel. So decree and declare, Lord, as Christ fetched out the prophecy of Isaiah and wisdom for his destiny was downloaded in a meeting, in a meeting at the synagogue. Lord, I ask that let the books of my destiny open up under this apostolic ministration, under this apostolic design that your grace has made manifest tonight. In the name of Jesus, I let the prophetic scrolls of destiny, prophecy occur in this place. We make demands for the spirit of grace and prophecy in this place to make known hidden things, reveal in my heart, reveal in my spirit, reveal even in this place, make known hidden things. Let the gifts of prophecy operate manifoldly in this place. We are decreeing, we are declaring. In the name of Jesus, let the gift of prophecy open up a manifold. Let it gush out of this place like wisdom. In the name of Jesus, let it gush out as the fountain of water, that let it flow as the spirit bubbles forth. Let prophecy bubble out of this place, foretelling and foretelling. In the name of Jesus, Mahuse, Zengo do Balanash, Mendoriboro Tonodos, Tendra Taske Toloba, Senglo do Rotoboro, Neprandes Kepronodiata, Lefiko Zonzo Prada Laba, Shendra Laboko Siada. Go ahead, pray and give him praise. Matele Branamo, Shendra Lababosh Ketra Lababa. Let my prophetic books open up. Blessed be your holy name. Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, Father, I give you praise. I have a word for somebody here, and this word is directed to one of us here. I see that person that you will, I'm praying that the breath of wisdom will come upon you, and that the books, what you will write, will change your world. I know who I'm talking to tonight. Because God is going to give you a new kind of wisdom. A new kind of wisdom. You will fetch wisdom out of the spirit. There's when you write things and know things according to your formal education and training, but it's different when it comes from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You fetch it out pure, no stain, no assumption, no restriction. It fetches out clean. Answer, Sir Adegahi, I decree that gift upon you tonight. You will write what will change your generation. In the name of Jesus. Rick Warren wrote a book, a purpose-driven life. The book became so successful that he had to write more series, a purpose-driven church. And the president of a nation invited him after a period of crisis to their country, and he had to teach the whole nation on a purpose-driven nation. He has written a lot of other books, but the purpose-driven life set him apart. The book you will write, it will change your generation. In the name of Jesus. Right now, I'm decreeing that the wisdom for that book, it will come as a spirit upon you. You will know that you will fetch out wisdom from a depth. You will fetch out wisdom from a depth. It will come as a spirit upon you, and you will write out of heaven wisdom, and it will change your world and change the world around you. It will change your world. It will change the world around you. And diverse testimonies and miracles shall occur. Miracles of impact, miracles of transformation, miracles of encounter will occur. Right now, I'm decreeing that that wisdom for that book, that wisdom for that book, today is handed over to your hands, is given into your hands. You will write under the light of Christ. All the apostles experienced writing under the light of Christ. That is why their books continue to transform life centuries after. There is such a thing as writing under Christ's light. It's not that you are writing and you are bringing, you are researching all the knowledge tool in the whole universe. You are writing under Christ's light. Light is shining in your spirit. You are flooded with information that you can't trace their source. Then you know that some superior hand is educating your mind, is illuminating your spirit, is giving you access. I'm decreeing and I'm declaring today again that that wisdom for that wisdom has come to you tonight. It will dwell with you until the period of that assignment is over. And if you like it, it will become a stream and a channel and a portal in God that you will consistently operate. Not just when you want to write, but when you want to speak. Because you will still fetch out wisdom from the same depth. And this is why I'm declaring and decree that beginning from today, that your depth of wisdom will alter. When you speak by Christ's light, even the people that hear you will wonder from whence you are bringing it out. They said concerning Jesus, from whence has this man this wisdom? How? They were astonished at his speech. Why? He was fetching out of a depth in God. Particularly, I'm decreeing to you tonight that from this moment and this time of encounter with this word, that you will be fetching your speech, your speaking, your utterance, your writings out of the depth of the Spirit. And it will be life. It won't be just information, it will be life, it will be transformation and information. And it will set your world ablaze and set you ablaze and put you at another level and at another pedestal in life. In the name of Jesus. Notoriety in Christ will still come. Righteousness in diverse signs will still come. In the name of Jesus. One manifestation of Christ's gifts through you can set you at another level in your world. One manifestation of Christ's gifts. One book can set you apart. One book can set you apart. One writing can set you apart. One piece from God in you can set you apart. It depends on the breadth, the gift that settled upon the deposit. And anything is possible where the gifts of God are in operation. So I'm declaring and decreeing that the mysteries that we have spoken about and you have heard us talk about, that there are still possibilities in God. That the same access and promises that God has given to us of coming out of a dark place and shining as a light, that the whole generation are light to shine forth to the ends of the earth, that you also share in that heritage. In the name of Jesus, that in your days you will be known. You can't be hidden, you will be known. The gift of Christ will set you apart and bring you into light and bring you into prominence. Not for the sake of prominence, but for the sake of impacting your world further. Because there's a purpose of fame according to the design of the kingdom. The Bible says that the fame of Christ spread. When he came, there was a reason why the fame had to spread. It was so that more impact would occur. Watch. From the place where you are and from the cycles and the spheres around you, your fame will break out. It will explode. The beloved in the book of Songs of Solomon, he said, my beloved sat at the table, and then my spices sent forth his fragrance. The fragrance of the grace of God over you will escape from your surrounding and spread out to the outer world. In the name of Jesus. You know, they talked about the instrument of Mary that filled the place. When the gift and the savour of God's grace escapes, because it's not designed to cage out, to be caged. Paul spoke in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, we are the savour of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ wherever we go. Today, whatever has sworn to keep you in obscurity, just feel, today you are brought out to your place of Christ's notoriety. In the name of you can't be we not. The light of Christ in you will shine out. In the name of Jesus. And I'm decreeing and prophesying to anyone that your destiny at the period and at the time that God has designed, it will come into the light. Paul said that we have this prophetic word confirmed, which we do well to take heed unto as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the day star rises. At the dawn of your life, your star will rise. Nothing will hinder it. In the name of Jesus. Some of you have been in a period where you are laboring in secret, investing in secret. Watch, your dawn is coming. And for some of you, your dawn is as already is just here. Just here. So we are at the break of your dawn now. Your day star we rise in the name of Jesus. And so, Saade Gahi, congratulations, God is with you. You will connect with wisdom through medicine. It will come to you. You will know you are tapping from a stream. Just be conscious of it, beware of it, and fellowship with the Spirit more. You will see light flowing. See light flowing. And you will testify. It will come with the presence of God. You will sense the anointing of God also on your palm. You will sense it on your body. You will sense it on your. You sense the anointing flowing. You sense the gift of God, the grace of God. It will come on you physically. You will sense it tangibly on you. You will sense the weight on your hands, on your arms. You will sense it physically, feelably on you. You will feel the anointing on you as you write. You sense the overwhelming glory of God. See, the blanket of glory is even covering your face. It's a robe, it's a covering, it's a mantle of wisdom. There are just diverse mysteries in Christ. But it will give, what I'm saying, the sign will be there. Tangible evidence of glory. Then you flow in wisdom. You flow in wisdom. And write out a document that will change your world. Father, let's go ahead. I'm also decreeing for somebody here. You know, the last time we had the assembly of structure, we just saw a young man that was in the meeting. And we just we don't even know him. We don't know him. We don't know who he is. It was when we called the name that was written on his profile, and then he went to change it so we could call him by his original name. But we prayed for him there and said, we are talking about the scribal, the anointing of the scribe is on you right now. So when we prayed for him, I had to ask Peter, go and confirm from that guy, from that person we prayed with, why we had to just fetch him out. Then this guy said that he's already in step to start writing books, but in electronic format, which we all have access to produce. We all have access to, you can write your books on, what do you call it? With your Microsoft Office. If you can write it and structure it with your Microsoft Office, get a graphics designer to do a cover page for you, and then export it as a PDF. and do the cover very well. Normal. If you just, there are free tools you can use. Free tools you can use. Get a graphic, free tools you can use. So he said he was trying to, was going to start writing. And so how did we know that? We don't even know him, but just a word landed on, free on him. Listen, for anyone, whatever you are desiring tonight, just stay focused as that grace comes upon you. Stay focused as that grace comes upon you. We have decreed a word that says there shall be no more delay, according to the word of God. So just stay focused as the word of God comes to you. Father, we give you praise. Blessed be your holy name. We await your testimonies in Christ, confirming the works and the signs of God in our midst. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Welcome everybody again to this meeting. For a period of time now, we started looking at revolutions. Most people don't realize that we are still on revolutions. And that is why you see that we have been trying to infect your mind with thoughts that you have not considered before. Infect your mind with a new thinking pattern. Pardon the use of the word infect, but it sort of convey the idea that I intend to pass across. Because when infection spreads very rapidly, yes, you know that, right? So we are looking forward to introduce your mind, how to break your mind out of a grid, how to break it out of a box, how to break it out of a grid. And so we are still on that. But after we looked at revolutions, we attempted to pass through some corridors so that we can see how many of their tables we can shake along as we pass. And so we talked about economia, and which is what we are still trying to look into. Please, if you don't have the audio for the part one of that teaching, you can always get it. It's available on the platform. So let's begin from taking our scripture in Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 1 to 5, so that we can always have perspective on what exactly we are dealing with, what exactly we are talking about. So Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 1 to 5, the scripture begins to reveal this to us. Father, we give you praise. All right, Ezekiel 28 verse 1 says, then the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up and you say, I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods in the midst of the seas, yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of a god. He said, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. Now, can you believe that? There is no secret that can be hidden from you. Now, our emphasis is always on verse 3 to 5. He said, with your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. So we have said that God was revealing, talking about a king that existed in the earth. And when God was about to judge him, God made some comments about him that he acknowledged to be true. And some of the part of the things that we have already highlighted is the fact that God was quick to acknowledge that this guy had gained riches by wisdom. So he said, with wisdom and understanding, you have gained riches and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. And we have attempted to decree and to say that there is always wisdom and understanding in gaining riches. There is something this guy understood about riches, which was why he was gaining them anyhow, gathering them. And look at what the Bible's God says in chapter verse 5. He said, by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. So we have used this to now teach us that there is what he understood that made him gain riches. And we have this scripture as being the foundation or the rolling stone
or our takeoff point, that there are certain understanding and wisdom you need to have in order to acquire riches. And I told you this, if you have been following this teaching, I've said to us that the word riches is not money. And that when scripture talks about riches, my God shall supply your needs according to your riches in glory, he's not talking about money, because there are no money in the glory of God. And when God spoke about this guy that he had gathered riches, he still wasn't talking about money. As a matter of fact, he didn't use the Hebrew word for money. He talked about wealth, he talked about abundance, talked about possession. The Hebrew word is kayil. The Hebrew word for money is kesef, like we have said already. Those are some understandings that we have attempted to establish. And then we saw also God telling him that you have wisdom and understanding, you gained riches, and you gathered gold and silver. But furthermore, God went further to say that it is not just any wisdom, because wisdom is in category. He said, great wisdom in trade have made you to increase riches. Which is why we went further to teach us that riches are wealth. Please get the past messages, because I can't do a total recap, hence we'll use up all the time to do that. Which is why we have been saying that, we said in last time that wealth and can only be increased through trading, because that's what it is. Under, within the economic constraint, the arrangement of increment of resources is made possible by transaction, which is what trading is. We define trading as exchange, giving what one has in order to obtain what one desires to get. And we said that you can't increase your riches unless you are trading them. That's the principle of scripture according to the revelation of this guy that God gave. He said, with your great wisdom in trade. So we see that if you have great wisdom in trade, you can increase riches. Let me say that again. If you have great wisdom in trade, you can increase riches. And when we say trade, please don't see a market woman tying wrapper with table and then there are food items on her desk. Those are just levels of petty trade. The big people of the earth today, the billionaires, are all traders. Just that they are trading at levels of sophistication. They are trading at different levels of sophistication. So when I say trade, don't see that old woman in the market with granite and stuff on her table. I'm talking to a system of living and the anacopation. The billionaires of the earth are all traders. Which is why we were able to define trading as exchange. So when we talk about trade, don't see that. But you see, God was quick to blow a whistle on this guy, like we have continually said, that through his great wisdom in trade, he has increased his riches. Which is why we are taking the time to explore to you mysteries around the area of this system, which is what oikonomia is. Oikonomia is the Greek word from whence the English word trade is derived. And this guy had understanding in trade. So through this understanding, he was able to trade what really is rich wealth for wealth. Part of the understanding we have left you with is that money, currency, money is not wealth. Its value is associative. The people who know how to get trade wealth know that it's not money that they are interested in getting. It's not money they are interested in getting. The acquisition and the accumulation of money is not equivalent to the acquisition of wealth, because you can't obtain direct satisfaction from wealth. And as a matter of fact, when you store all your wealth in money form, like I said to us, you play a risky business, because power decisions can still turn on the table. Riches is riches, is wealth, is possession, is resources, is abundance. Money is a system of universal exchange. 1 million naira can represent 1 million naira worth of a car, 1 million naira worth of a plot of land, 1 million naira worth of an equipment, 1 million naira worth of a building, 1 million naira worth of a jewelry, or 1 million naira worth of food items. But food items remain food items. The leverage of the currency system, like as we have continually taught us, is to eradicate the hindrances and the limitations that came into place at the point of exchange. Because economic activities are powered by the drive to exchange, which is rooted in the human nature of wanting to get what they want. And that's why you see that the approved definition of economics, right from high school that we learned from Leonard C. Robbins, is has to do with ends, scarce means, insatiable desire, limited resources. Those are the key words in those definition. And it's widely accepted to be what captures the entirety or the intricacy and the context of the economic activity of economics as a field of study. So we are trying to teach you that. So 1 million naira represents that or this, but it only gives you capacity, like when you say something is a universal, when you have something that is universal, you have a device that can only accept one particular kind of network, then you have a universal router that accepts any SIM card, so you can't be restricted if there's no, the signal of this service provider is down, you switch. But if you are using a customized device, you have to stick to that SIM, to that service provider, and even if they are having a downtime, you have to go down with them until they come back up. But it's not for you to retain it like that, because unless you are trading in a system that, in the Forex system, which we'll trust God to talk about further on, you can't go to the market and start selling money. And you, at the end of the day, your money must take a form, because you can't derive direct satisfaction from it. I want to show you the Prince of Tyre's wisdom. I've been trying to show us for some days, for some weekends now, but I've not. But today, I see now that I'm able to show us. I want somebody, or maybe I should read it myself. But I want to show you his wisdom. I want to show you what he did to build so much wealth. Part of what he did that scripture is revealing to us. Who is going to be able to read it in the New King James Version? I want a simpler text that people will understand. Is there an individual like that in our midst? Ezekiel chapter 27.
Ezekiel 27.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
From verse 12. Just pay attention from verse 12. Those of us that have our scriptures, follow on now.
Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron, tin, and lead for your goods. Java, Tuba, and Meshel were your traders. They bartered human life and vessels of bronze for your merchandise. Those from the house of Targamah traded for your wares with horses, steeds, and mules. The men of Dedan were your traders. Many eyes were the market of your hand. They brought you ivory tops and ebony as payment. Syria was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made. They gave you for your wares emerald, purple embroidery, fine linen, corals, and brooch. Judah and the land of Israel were your traders. They traded for your merchandise with of millet, honey, oil, and balm. Damascus was your merchant because of the abundance of goods you made, because of your many luxury items, with the wine of Helbon and with white wool. Dan and Javan pay for your wear, transversing back and forth. Rough iron, hazel, and cane were among your merchandise. Dedan was your merchant, a saddle's clue for right. Arab and all the princes of Kedah were your regular merchant. They traded with you in lamb, ram, and gold. The merchant of Seba and Rama were your merchant. They traded for your wares, the choicest spices, all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Canaan, Aden, the merchants of Seba, Assyria, and Chilme were your merchant. They were your merchant in choice items in purple cloth, in the embroidered garment, in chest of multicolored embroidery, in studded, wooded, woven cord, which were in your market. The ship of Tars were carriers of your merchandise.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I know we didn't, maybe we're not paying attention, but let me show you. Do you notice that this guy was collecting everything for payment? He wasn't collecting money. He collected everything. Imagine a nation that has silver, iron, lead, tin as payment. They gave him, now everybody from every part of the nation, they were bringing what they had to come and trade with him. They were paying him in, Bible called it, battered human life. They gave him slave. They gave him vessels of bronze. The people from Togarma traded with him horses. They gave him steeds. They gave him mules. The people from Dedan came with ivory. They came with ivory tusks. They came with ebony. Those from Syria came with emeralds, purples, embroidery, fine linen. Even Judah, the God's covenant people, Israel, that you know for agriculture, they came with millet, honey, oil, and balm. Damascus came with wine and white wool. Dan came with wrought iron. You know what wrought iron is? Chemical engineers and chemistry and physics students, that's like the purest form of iron. Wrought iron. They came with wrought iron, cassia. Dedan was bringing saddle clothes. Arabia were coming with lambs, rams, and goats. You know the Arabians and their ships. See people of Sheba, Queen Sheba's people. You see, they brought their spices, precious stones, and gold. This guy was the definition of wealthy. He didn't have money, only have money and gold. He had everything. But what he was doing, he was what the scripture, you see, when they said that you sat in the midst of the seas, he was the World Trade Center of his days. He so strategically organized his market that he knew that getting just money is not wealth. He was accepting everything. Most of us, when we get money, we go and buy food. So you collect money, you sold a car, you get the money, you go and buy food. No, this guy was acquiring the money and the food at the same time. When you get money, in those days, they didn't have car. You see, they were bringing him horse teeth and mules. He was collecting precious stones. He was amassing. There was something he was doing. And he was the center of trade for nations. That's why I see they are listing all the powers of the earth. Everybody was submitting their goods. He was regulating trade and amassing. That's why when it's God revealing these things. So you see, God spoke to him, say, tell him these things. Maybe Ezekiel didn't have enough insight because Ezekiel was a slave in Babylon. When he was writing, prophesying, he was a Babylonian slave. You can see from the beginning of his book, he was by the river Cheba among the captives in Babylon. So it was God telling him what the things happening in Tar. And God was saying, this guy is getting this, is accumulating this. That's why he said, you have increased your riches. God couldn't say you have increased money. It's all those things together that God said is riches. That thing you are seeing trading, that is what is called riches. God, he had the gold, he had materials for factory. They were bringing him wrought iron. We have different categories of iron described in terms of purity. Wrought iron is if the purest form. They were trading wrought iron for him. They were bringing him lead. They were bringing him ore. They were bringing him ivory. God. Precious stones were coming in direction. Spices from Sheba, like the queen of Sheba brought to Solomon. Gold from Sheba, spices. Everything this guy, that is how he amassed riches through trading. They say they sat in the midst of this. There's something he was trading. Through through thy great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. God was not in Babylon. Ezekiel was not in Babylon. This is God speaking. This kind of detail, Ezekiel wouldn't have had it. He was in Babylon. God had to come all the way, and he started narrating to him what this guy is doing. I like to read that part a lot. How can one person amass that kind of wealth? I want to read it again. Because as I'm reading, it is God's speech. It is God's speech I'm reading. Let me read it again. I would have brought, it's not only Ezekiel that spoke about this guy. Let me show you what Isaiah said concerning him. Isaiah, in short, in his prophecy also, had to acknowledge that this guy is something else. See what he said concerning time, Isaiah chapter 23. He said, "Be still," verse 2 now, "you inhabitants of the coastlands, you merchants of Sidon, whom those who cross the sea have filled." You see that those who cross the sea are filled. He said, "And on great waters, the grain of Sihon, the harvest of the river is her revenue." Hear what Isaiah now said. She is a marketplace for the nations. Kande, Baratamakashi Kalabrata Kadia. This guy organized world trade around himself. Oh no. He said she is a marketplace for the nations. Kota Kada Deka. This is not Isaiah's knowledge. This is prophecy. God knows the economy of nations. Talaba Mataka Shekoto. He knows really what is going on. If you contact some wisdom, you will be trading with nations overnight. You will be catapulted in such a way. You start trading with nations. He said, Tyre was a marketplace of the nations. Let's see what the prophet Ezekiel said again. I like to read it. I like reading it. He said, "Tarshish was your merchant because of your many luxury goods. They gave you silver, iron." This guy's iron they brought was not the pure one. Because you will see further on, some nations came and gave him wrought iron. Iron that has been treated, that has been purified. He said, "Tarshish gave you iron, tin, and lead for your goods." You know lead now, PB, in chemistry. You know those metals, how precious they are. They are useful in material science, in mechanical engineering, in fabricating and constructing, in making of steels, alloys. So this guy will be forging his own weapons. You bring him iron and all those metals, he will forge sword and sell back to you. When you are bringing it right, you pay him back in iron. Or you pay him back in horses. And those people bringing iron, he will give them horses and collect iron from them. You bring in horse, he will just give you honey and millet and cereals. And then for those of bringing goats and rams, we'll just give you small precious stones. Go and trade somewhere. He was the administrator of the marketplace. He was the admin, market admin. He said, "Javan, Tubal, and Meshach." I won't have time. I would have traced these nations to you till modern time, so that you know the modern counterpart, where these nations were in current days. Maybe one day we'll have time to trace all their origins for you. These ones were coming with slaves and bronze for what he was, for his market, the way they will call it in the East. They brought slave and bronze. Vessels of bronze, not rubber plate. When they say vessel, you know it's a ship we are talking about. He said, "Those from the house of Togarma traded for your wares with horses, steeds, and mules, power equipments, Those were agri power equipments. You know, when they talk about horses and mules, power equipments in the field. Look at what he says. The men of Dedan, this one brought ivory tusk and ebony. He said from Syria they were bringing emeralds, purple, embroidery, fine linen, coat. This one were trading with him on materials, clothing. Those of us that deal with clothing and all that, you know how much some clothing look like a duvet, how much it sold. Some go for 100,000+. Yeah, quality, goods of the highest quality. Look at this. He said that Judah and the land of Israel, Israel traveled all the way and came there, and they were blessed in the field. They started giving them the guy what? They were giving the prince of Tyre minute, millet, honey, oil, balm, Damascus from Syria came all the way, and they were giving wine and white wool. See, he didn't care, just bring the right volume. How can you be collecting wine as payment? He knew what he was doing, man. He was collecting wine as payment. Why? He would sell it to the people in Arabia, and he would just give me your goods. He would give you some wine, just share it. So that's why they call the marketplace of the nation. All the nations were coming there to trade his luxury goods. He was swapping it. He was the admin of the, he built the whole market around him. He made his house, his city, like Isaiah revealed, the marketplace of nations, where nations come to shop. I know you have seen shops where individuals, Israel was coming, Germany was coming, United States, they were coming to his supermarket. And they were not paying him in dollars, they were bringing what they had. Because he knows how this exchange thing works. You know, he was more interested in their wealth. It was, if you look at these things, the means of payment was not universal. He was collecting what they had. Because if they paid him in dollars, he would not sell the dollar to Arabia. But he knows Arabia will need goods, or we need something else. So you see that every nation was bringing what they had. So in Nigeria, we have this, we have that. If you are going there, you carry crude oil and go. When you give him crude oil, he will give you something. If you are coming from Ivory Coast, you bring your gold. I know what you have. If don't bring your currency. Your currency, I can't use your money to buy something in China. Give me what you have. Because like I said, yes, last weekend, I said wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. If you are seeing that word confirmed here. But I said money anywhere is not wealth everywhere, because you can't buy things with Naira in China. But if you take gold from Nigeria, you can still sell it anywhere in the world. If you take yam from here, back then in the university, I had a professor, I know his name, he was exporting yam from Nigeria outside of the country. And he was telling us then that he was exporting a tuber for 6,000 Naira in terms of the exchange rate. That is, the what he was selling a tuber in dollars at that time, when he exchanged it to Naira, he was exchanging it for 6,000 Naira. And so when he sent it, he puts the yam and then packages them well inside cartons, and they are like packaged stuff, and he was sending it abroad, and they were paying him in dollars, and he was selling one tuber for 6,000. Now this was not now that the dollar is waiting. No, that time the dollar was still in 200. So how can somebody come to buy something? Well, he brought wine, because that's what they had. That's what they make properly. That's the goods. It's a wealth there. Say it again. Wealth anywhere is wealth everywhere. It's not the same with your currency. This guy knew that thing. So he didn't accept their currency. He was trading their riches. And when he was trading their riches, he was transferring them. So God said, you have great wisdom in trade. Kai. When God saw the merchandise of activity and saw how this man was organizing and administering the marketplace, God came down and spoke to his prophet and said, this guy has great wisdom in trade. Can he be said concerning you? Can he be said concerning you? You have 1,000, 100,000 today. The next thing your shoe is 75,000. They collect your wealth from you. And that shoe, you can't, you are wearing it, but it's not making you rich. It's not, is it wrong to buy? No. But this guy had wisdom. And these folks trading with him were saying, okay, we are gaining, but they were gaining from the lower level. He had the upper hand, he was the admin. Look at what scripture said. He said, those from Arabia traded with you in lambs, rams, and goats. The merchants of Sheba and Ramah were your merchandise. They traded for your wares, stones, precious stones, and gold. He said, even those from Haran. Do you remember Haran? Father Abraham's ancient town. He said, they were trading for you purple clothes. You know what purple clothes are? They are clothes of royalty. In embroidered garments, in chest of multicolored apparel, in study woven cords, which were in your marketplace. We will see what is coming by the time we round up with this course and you are paying attention, you will never remain the same. They were trading all these things in all the nations came, and then the admin of the marketplace continually. You can see that God was saying, they traded with you. They didn't say the nations. He was the admin. He was the administrator. So they were trading with him. He was the market. So he made God to come from heaven and say to him, well, I've seen you. You have great wisdom in trade. Great wisdom in trade. Great wisdom. Great wisdom. Now, listen. God validated his wisdom. He validated it. Great. This guy was the administrator of the market. And I've said to us that from the revelation of scriptures and from the principles of the market, of economic laws, that riches, wealth are only increased when they are traded. And there are a lot of going to see that we still have curriculum teachings evolve, develop. We are still having things we need to bring you to enter. But what do we see here? I just took the time to show you his wisdom. Over the past weekend, I wanted to show you this scripture. When I was telling you this guy, there was the reason why God says with wisdom and understanding, you have gained wealth, you have gained riches. But I've always attempted to show us this thing from the previous verse or chapter, but I've not been able to. But today I saw the wind and I said, all right, maybe today is the day. And yes, it is. That you will see his wisdom and how he gained wealth. His operation validates what I've been telling you. That in the grand scheme of things, in the basic scheme of things, your money currency is not wealth. Don't be deceived. It is an invention for necessity. It was an invention that was adopted. And I've told you that if money is wealth, every country will print money and give everybody $1 billion. It won't settle the problem of poverty. I've told you, wealth is wealth. It's not money. Money was invented to facilitate the exchange so that economic activity can continue. So that some people can gain wealth easily. But you carry your wealth, your asset, convert it to money and leave it as money. And every day its value keeps going down. Its value keeps going down. Its value keeps... I told you, if you store all your wealth as money, it's a risky business. Because power decisions can plummet all your assets. In one day, one power decision. because money was invented by the powers that be. They regulate and legislate it. Why will you fight with a man when he makes the laws? He now tells you, all right, the rule now is don't punch me. So he's punching you, you can't punch him back because he has made the laws. But of course, to meet needs, you still have to have some cash because you can't take your computers to the supermarket. That gives you wisdom to know how to do it. Like I said to us, that the billionaires of the earth, they didn't tell you they have 103 billion in the bank. Forbes will tell you that they are worth, they have valuated their assets. That's their wealth. That's their wealth. Learn from this gentleman. Jesus said that it's as if even the sons of the world, they are wiser than they, because of some operations. Some of these people have taken this wisdom, and some of them are super wealthy. But we don't want to, let me tell you, there are certain things God created, certain things are a function of necessity. It's not unbelievers doing it. That is how it works, because of creation. I once told people several years ago, I said that God may have created the first human being, but he didn't design it to be creating human beings again. He had already designed biological laws that we handle that operation. So people say, why is he not creating? Say, no, now the already installations we have, I have designed to continue my work. So even people that are saved and not saved, we still have children. Setting laws are within creation. Leadership, I say, is a function of necessity. It wasn't a convenient arrangement. Some things will develop out of necessity. If an unbeliever hints on the laws, and there are people who don't even believe in God, they are designing aircraft using the systems God has put in place to power aircrafts, to build engines and equipment with that will marvel your mind. We'll talk of some things tomorrow. But see this guy. God came from heaven and spoke to the prophet in Babylon and said, this guy has wisdom. The problem with God had this guy was his pride. And that's why he came down. But as to the matter of wisdom, he said, thine great wisdom in trade. In trade. If you have great wisdom in trade, it will only take a year for you, just max, to enter an unbelievable dimension of resources. Father, we give you praise. Trying to just show you things, and time has really gone. What will I round up with teaching us tonight? This forms a very good bedrock, but as we round up with the last minutes we have, let me now show us what I have called trade systems and the wealth principle. We have already seen trade systems already. As an overview, we trust God that in the week to come, one of the weekends, we will dive into it. But let's look at the wealth principle now. Father, we give you praise. The wealth principle. What does the wealth principle teach us? Now, I showed us that trading is exchange. And exchange is transacting, giving what you have to obtain what you need, want, or desire to have, or is required for you to have. But the basic principle in trade makes a demand on the one who intends to be a partaker or a participator in economic activity. The principle is that you can't trade if you don't have wealth. No man brings an empty hand to the trade market. No, you will leave as if you desire and you don't have what to give, you end up being a robber. And that's what robbery is. Robbers are people who desire but are not willing to follow due process or to bring to the table what is required for them to obtain what they need. So they go through brute force. And they become criminals. Listen. wealth is needed for trading. You can't trade from ground zero. You need to have wealth to trade wealth. Listen, scripture says, of his fullness we have received grace for grace. You need to have something first. That was why you can already see that principle when the widow cried to Elisha. Elisha said to her, what have you? She didn't have money. She said, your servant has nothing save except a pot of oil. Now, that was her starting point. Now, if she said, I don't have anything, then it's going to take the prophet another level of miracle to first create something out of nothing. Before they will now say, okay, how do we start? So the basic trade principle, which is the wealth principle, say you must have something. You must have something. I wrote something down here. I said a poor man is not just somebody who has nothing, but somebody who has nothing to offer. That's what poverty is. You have nothing to offer to make you rich. And when I say rich, don't see money. I've showed you riches is not money. God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. There's no dollar in that glory. It's Pluto, the scripture called it in Greek. It talks about wealth, abundance, possession, resources, like we saw in the King of Tar. Poverty is not just when you don't have. It's when you don't have nothing to give to obtain what you need. You can't come into... Listen, the gateway to increase is through trading riches. But you must have riches to begin with. The one who doesn't have wealth is finished. That's just the point. So it is fundamental, principle, and basic that when you enter the marketplace and come into the environment where there is transaction on to increase, you must have somewhat to offer. Which is why you see that the folks coming to this prince, they were not coming empty-handed, and he was not leaving them empty-handed. Instead, they traded their this for this. But just that he had an upper hand because he was gaining. They were actually finding utility, what economics call utility. They were finding satisfaction from a lower level. But he, as the administrator, had the advantage of the market because he was converting their riches. It's just like Arabia will bring their goods. I will take some of Arabia's goods and exchange it for something of more value because Egypt needs it. I will take what Egypt has and give small to Arabia and keep the remaining one for myself. Let me not call it by name. We'll talk about it tomorrow. And then I'm doing like that many times and swapping stuff and valuating them and hoarding them and making, just administering the market, the boss, the king of the marketplace. You know that kind of thing. Kara Shikoto Brata Kasia. You can't come to that table empty-handed. You will live as a robber, an armed robber. And that's what it is. There are people you go to marketplaces. You know, in some years ago, when I go to marketplaces, I just begin to look. There was one day I was on an overhead bridge in a very busy market, and I just stood there and I was observing. I was watching. Just noting. Sometimes I'm in a market setting. Maybe it's not like the typical market setting, but where you can see different things come to merge. And sometimes people just see me walk out, and I'm just looking around and I'm walking. I'll pause and put my hand on the vehicle and be there for I don't know how long, and I'm just watching. If you go to some places, when you come, you see some people just walking. They call them adverts, just moving. Before they just thought somebody, something has left. They want money, but they don't have goods. But they desire money, they become robbers, criminals. When your desire swallows what you offer, your graph is approaching robbery. Your graph has begun to approach robbery, like they will see in calculus. You see them loitering all around, have nothing to offer, but they want to gain. They want to violate. When they violate that principle, they become enemies of the law. You can't come empty-handed. There must be something to offer. Which is why you see in the parables of Jesus' talent, the master, we always leave them with the talent. No, the talent is something of value. Sometimes the Greek word is money. There are a lot of Greek words for money, a lot of them. If you look at them, you see their money. He will give them, he won't leave them empty. He said, and to one he gave 2 talents, and to the other 1 talent, to the other he gave 5 talents. He gave them a starting point, which is why I said to you, God gave you also a starting point. Now, people, wealth is not only what is physical. No. It's not that you have gold. Some of you have gold, but not in physical form. What you have is riches. I invited somebody to come to see me. I've wanted to see this individual. Something keeps coming up, and if I see one day, I call the person, I sent an email, I say, I want to see you. And the person came around. I began to talk. I said, well, I know that you have left your former place of work and all that. I said, yes. I began to talk. I said, I don't want you to ever be stranded or what. I said, you have gold inside of you. Let's exchange some of it a little so that you can be comfortable. And the gold I was talking about was the skill this person has acquired. I said, we can package this and people will come to purchase from it. I said, there is gold in you. Let's exchange a little bit. And I said, go. I said, this said that. I said, go. Conceive and come back with your ideas. Let's build it. God left no man empty-handed. The master always left talents. And he said, go and trade. Some of you, like we said the other day, that the gifts of Jesus Christ in you can settle you forever. If you know what you are doing. That's your wealth. That is your wealth. That is your starting point. That is the talent the master gave you. Are we saying monetize divine? No. But value always attracts resources. What did I say? Value attracts riches. Jesus didn't go say, if I heal you, pay me. No. But exercising the gift of God in his life made him comfortable. Like my pastor would say, he gave the thief his purse to hold. And my pastor would comment and say that, as if he made a statement to the thief and said, if you are a thief enough, finish the money. He dared the thief to his face. And for as long as his ministry, that guy couldn't steal all the money. He couldn't finish the money, even though he was stealing. They knew he was stealing, but they dared him to finish it. According to that commentary. Listen, if you have no wealth, you can't come to this marketplace. Because you trade it, and then you increase by it. And their trading is going on in the spirit. I would have showed you out of heaven that they use marketing in heaven, but I would not today. If we look at another scope of things, they use the word, they use a market in heaven. It's not because people are buying. No. It's not to monetize. No, that's not it. But resources will always travel in the direction of what is valuable. Was Solomon selling his wisdom? No. But resources, they were following him with gold. You bring nothing to the table, You go with nothing unless you are a robber. Now, there's one concept we introduce, which is favor in the marketplace. Favor naturally destabilizes economic equilibrium. Oh my God. But it is an introduction of a new law, of a new reality. And we know from science that when you introduce new realities and dimensions, laws are adjusted. Which is why when you are dealing with plane shapes and 3D shapes, their formulas differ. Their mathematical approach differs. The laws are adjusted. Favor in the marketplace causes a minor destabilization. Minor. Like when God converted the whole wealth of a nation to another nation. He didn't follow any economic principle. But God can't be said, you can't say of God that he broke man's law. Mm-mm. Whatever God does in man's law, he always passed a new law. God doesn't break laws, he makes them. And God can't break man's law. He's not under man. Now, wealth can be physical, it can be your commodity, it can be the asset you have as what you have acquired through learning. A skill is your wealth, my God. And that is a sure wealth because it doesn't finish. I said the last time here, I said you can't say to a mason, please come and help me build my house. You now say, the last house I built, they have finished my mason skill, I have to go acquire again. No, it's there. And the more you are trading it, the more you get better at it and you increase your value. Is you heard the story of Robbins, who read how many thousand books? By the time he had finished reading those books, his value per hour was several times above his contemporary. They're paying thousands of dollars to speak for an hour. My God. People will be able to package favor and then the creation of wealth in one teaching so that we can see how it sort of sets a new law rolling in the marketplace. If you want wealth and riches, trade is the gateway. And don't see somebody putting rubber on the table, you see an old man. I told you the nations are trading. The billionaires of the earth, they are into trade. If you know what trade really is, you see that everybody trades. You don't know. Your place of work now, they are trading with you. They are buying and subscribing for your service monthly while you exchange your expertise for what they are doing. That's trade. And they get your wealth in terms of your skill. They pay you back wealth in terms of cash. If you hold it as cash, that's why you see a law say salary will not make you rich. The people who are saying that, what they are trying to say is that if you hold your money, even if your lifetime, you couldn't finish your money, if it still retains money, it will finish one day. But you can see the Buckingham Palace. It has stood there for generations. That's where Charles is still living. That's where his wife will live. That's where Charles is living now. That's where his son is living. That's where their generations. It has been for ages. For years. If his money would have finished. Because there are people that are engraced. I don't know if it came from God. They can finish even 1 million. No. So those people who tell you can't become wealthy by salary, they know what they are telling you. Organization will give you money. If you don't want to do it, you'll just be a cycle again. But the upshot there is that you are trading there. They exchange your skill and your expertise. They pay for it. You give them skill for 1 month. The next month again, they pay you for it. That's what you are doing. That's what you are doing. Everybody trades, just that they are not aware. With great wisdom, you will increase riches in trade. Everything you do is trading as you are, because economy is interwoven into civilization ever since mundane history. If you have great wisdom in your ordinary life, you'll be growing your riches. If you have great wisdom, you increase your wealth, because your wealth power determines what you can exchange. You can't carry, if you carry onions to the market, they'll pay you 100 naira. If you carry a bag of rice to a market, they pay you in thousands. You go to the market with a Lexus, they pay you in millions. The wealth you bring to the market determines what you can exchange for. Unless favor comes to destabilize the equilibrium. My God. Great wisdom in trade, you will increase your riches. Kandamala Kashika. Don't say I'm not. You trade for a living. That's why you are here. As long as you are a participator in economy, you are a trader by proxy or intentionally. Don't tell me I'm not it. You the basic principles of economics, you are being co-opted into, you are being tagged into it. You are doing it. You didn't see it like that. That's why you kept losing every time. You lost your wealth. You brought forth what is not. My God. That's why those who don't have wisdom in trade, they lose destiny. Esau traded his destiny for porridge. Jacob did an upside down transaction. You use something as worthless as porridge to secure a generation. It was the fool who sold it that is to be blamed, not the one who even gave it. He sold eternity, eternal riches for porridge. Somebody secured eternal riches. There are certain operations God puts into place. Like when God says to a man, do this here and come under a grace. They have given you, they have set divine economy in place. It's not for man to look into it. It's for divinity to set it in place. With great wisdom, you will increase riches. This is the wisdom part you have been receiving since I've been exposing some dynamics, some crude, just the ordinariness. We strip it off the ornament so that you can see the lines and the shapes, the actual form, that you can know where you are standing. With great wisdom in trade, your riches will increase. Don't say you are not a trader. You are a participator in economic activity. You are a trader. Don't forget about it. They say salary will not make you rich. What they meant to tell you is that money is not your wealth. You won't get it like that. See this prince and see his riches. He had everything you ever need. He didn't have to buy anything again. He had food. He had things to build with. If he had slaves. When people build house, they have to buy building materials, and they have to pay laborers. And this guy had a workforce that he won't have to pay them. Oh my God! You just bring your building materials. You see, he has them. You are seeing his iron. You are seeing all these other things. You just bring them and say, "I start building." Everybody, I'm not paying them. They are just building my house for me. They are my wealth. They are my property. You can't pay your mattress. You can't pay house rent in the house you own. No, it doesn't work like that. So he didn't have to even pay laborers. He just put all of them there and said, keep building. So you won't pay them. Say, no, they are not laborers. They are my properties. They are slaves. They built for me. He had everything he needed. He had everything. He had spices for healing. So he didn't need to go and meet the pharmacist. He could just mix it. And then maybe one of the slaves is even okay in medicine. At that time, I said, all right, specialize here. When somebody is sick in my house, you treat them. What would he buy? They are bringing food every day. They are bringing horses for him. Yeah. Are you not seeing that wise men? We didn't start from that place. We don't. You didn't see that people that were in staff were men of wisdom, and they were foreign workforce. Should I open it? Maybe let's open it a little, not so much again. Let me show you his workforce, some part of it. Look at what the Bible said concerning his workforce. He said that your builders have perfected your beauty. He said they made all your planks of fair trees from Senia. They took a cedar. He said the company of Asherites have inlaid your planks. You know Asher, right? Asher was one of the cities that, Nimrod was building. If you read through Genesis, He said they built with ivory from the coast of Cyprus. He said fine embroidery from Egypt. He said the inhabitants of Sidon and Aved were your oarsmen. You see his work for us. People from Sidon and Aved. He said your wise men not tired were in you. They became your pilots. Elders of Gebal and his wise men were in your calc. To calc your seams, all the ships of your marketplace. Those from Persia and Lydia were in your army. Just look at what kind of individual is it. I don't want to go in. It's as if you have a military force and Koreans, Russians were people that formed your army. He had the tactic for diverse nations. That's a wealthy man. That's what you call a wealthy man. He's balanced. He doesn't have to buy anything. He himself is the economy. He trades with himself. He gets everything himself. True wisdom, great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. You want to see another one? He said, men of Aved with your army were on your walls all around. The men of Gamad were in your towers. Those people were the people that were observing. They hung their shields on. This is just something else. That's why God had to come down from heaven and say, somebody has monopolized the economy of the whole earth. They called him the marketplace of the nations. Through wisdom, you will increase your riches. You are not trading in wisdom. Your salary will not make you rich. That's just what that doctrine is trying to teach you. It's not like if you keep trading the salary, you keep trading and you won't use wealth. You have to trade this. Just go ahead, give God praise. This wisdom is necessary. These are some of the things that they pray. I know we said that his wisdom and understanding was gaining riches. So we want to get some. That's why we always begin from that scripture. Then we teach you stuff ahead. Go ahead, give him praise. Thank him in your spirit. You must trade with wealth to get wealth. Even favor will still put you on a pedestal. You didn't have a capital. Somebody sent you $1 million, 1 million naira. Favor gave you capital now, but if you don't do it, you will drain all that 1 million. You have to do something. That's why he gave them 1 talent. I gave this one 2 talents. Gave this one 5 talents. So all right, go now. He was angry with the one who still had the 1 talent. God gave you. It's not to settle you permanently in one as an establishment. He gave you a seed that will settle you in the sense of development and growth. The gift of Jesus Christ in your life is sufficient for you. I know why I say that. I will understand what we have seen by God's grace. The gift of Christ in you suffices for you. It's enough. It's enough. The gift of God in a man is enough for that man. You don't need another. The gift of God in Paul's life secured him. He said, I am what I am by God's grace. See, the grace is a gift. That's why the word grace and gift is the same in the Hebrew language. They use it interchangeably. The gift of Christ in you is enough. God, help me, deliver me. He won't give you dollar. He will give you what is more than dollar. Something more than gold. That's why I say, for the value of wisdom is worth more than gold. Precious. God. The gift of Christ in you is enough. I admonished us some months ago, pay attention to those gifts. Build it and it becomes mature. You will reap the dividends till Christ comes or he receives you in glory. And that is, trade your gift with sacrifice. Grow, increase in it. He said, let him that is exalted give heed to exalting. Him that minister, give heed to ministry. Let him be paying attention to become adept in it, to be skilled, to grow in proficiency. Why not? You can't come to the table empty-handed and don't expect favor when God has already told you what to do. That what to do is the favor you have. Those guys he gave 1 talent. Say, oh Lord, show me favor. He has given you, that's the favor. He has set you on the pedestal to proceed. Proceed now. Lord, I need help. Take one talent. Help. One talent. Help, Lord. One talent. What? 3 digits. It's one. You see, it can become two. How? Look at the 4. Look at the 5. Look at the 2. They are all 3 dead. The gifts of Jesus Christ in a man is insufficient to suffice his life. And those gifts are doubt beyond measure. Because of thy great wisdom, in trade, you have increased your riches. What will you do? Your riches. Some person will receive all manner of money but they will never become rich. They have no wisdom in trade. As a matter of fact, the more they receive, the more they sink into want, like an armed man. You know people that are earning so much, you are like, if I'm earning even 50% of what this person is earning, where my life will be? He's foolish in trade. So they pay him 1 million, 70% of it has already been lost to get something of no value. No value, something he has no business with as at that time. So he's the more money he's paid, he sinks him further into debt. Sinks him further. You can have great wisdom as you are trading at work and they are paying you whatever they are paying you. You are still trading. I told you everybody is trading. As long as you are a particular in the economic activity, as you are buying, you are trading. If you are selling, you are trading. That's a basic economic principle. If you are buying, you are trading. You are selling, you are trading. You are selling your service in that hospital where you are working. You sell your skill as a trained medical practitioner. You sell it there. They are subscribing to it and paying you for it. That's trading. Is the basic law of exchange. They may not, it's exchange. That's what trade is. Exchange. My God. Katarash nekotosh lakata. The scripture had to use money 3 times to say you are bought with a price. Purchased as of the precious blood of the Lamb. Katala babash ketulu babalaba. That's the ultimate transaction. Exchange of life. Kotosh makata. Trade. Great wisdom. People's minds are opening up already. That's the revolution. That's what we meant when we say it's just switching you into another thinking, switching you into another thought, switching you into another reality. Kotala makasia. People's minds are expanding. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's it. That's the encounter. That's the encounter that lasts. The one that fashions a new pathway in your mind. That one does a functional readjustment in your neurological pattern. It just leaves an imprint in your mind. That's the encounter. My God, go ahead, give me praise. Through great wisdom, you are King Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you, blessed be your name. Tomorrow, we are going to be looking at something very unbelievable. Come tomorrow very prepared. Come tomorrow with somebody also to hear. Father, we thank you, we give you praise. Blessed be your name. This time, be exalted. Jesus, now tomorrow look at something. Come tomorrow prepared. Come with somebody. Come with your writing materials. Don't attend these meetings without a writing material. Because as you are speaking, your thought is dropping. As it's dropping, just trap it. Trap mysteries with your ink. See, my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. That's the tongue anointed. It flows. They use the ink to trap the stream so that it continues, it trickles down, direct conversion process, transcription of light. So come ready tomorrow. Tomorrow we expose your mind to certain things. We leave you with capacities inside of you that just give you up thoughts in Christ. Idea, you just consider new concepts. Revolutionary, and the world doesn't understand it. Let me tell you, when you lead the world in a path they don't know, you become the master. Say it again. When you lead the world in a path they don't know, you become the master. When you lead the people in a path they don't know, you are their leader. It's by default. It's by default. When somebody is taking you to a place you don't know, he takes the lead. Whether you are older than him with one century, he will still be in front of you. You can't be in front of him to where. You will be behind him. When you lead the world in a path they don't know, you become the master. When you lead a group of people in a path they don't know, you automatically become the leader. Leadership is a function of necessity. It's an arrangement of convenience. It is my prayer that through great wisdom, you will increase your riches in the name of Jesus. Through great wisdom in trade, you will increase your riches. Go ahead, give him praise, give him all the glory. Thank him, I'm worshiping. In Jesus' most precious name, we are praying.